I'm standing by the statue of St. Michael the Archangel in the back of the shrine of Our Lady of Knock. And St. Michael has had a tremendous impact in the life of the Irish, at least in two situations that I just recently became aware of. So yesterday I went to go visit with my wife and I Skellig Michael. And obviously the name Michael should have told me that this monastery, this monastic mountain island was dedicated to St. Michael, but I didn't realize that. So apparently there are seven monasteries dedicated to St. Michael, beginning in Jerusalem, ending with Skellig Michael in Ireland. And they all form a straight line, what people call the Sword of St. Michael. So the handle is in Jerusalem and the tip of the sword is here in Ireland. And what's this? So St. Patrick had a vision because he was casting out, doing an exorcism on Ireland, and he was casting out all the evil from one side of the island out to that side, to the western part, like out into the ocean, literally. People back then thought very physically about spiritual things. And he saw a vision of St. Michael claiming that island and appearing there. And in fact, the legend is that he left his miraculous shield there. And I wish I would have known these things to have prayed more to him while I was there. And so that was kind of the last stronghold that the demons had there. He cast it out straight from that place. So St. Michael has had a strong presence here in Ireland ever since back then, the 400s, and having to do with St. Patrick and having to do with Skellig Michael, that those early ascetics, those early essentially Irish Christian fathers, were invoking him to cast evil out of their own country. So we can learn from this that we need to do the same thing. We cannot cast evil out from our country alone, not just by prayer and fasting, but we need the help of heaven, especially St. Michael the Archangel. And to think in terms of physically, maybe you need to go to your local mountain, your local place, and ask him to cast it out of that area. All the evil spirits that are affecting the people around you, that's why they can't accept the faith. When he did that, he was then able to convert the Irish. So remember, you got to do that work prior to really be able to spread the faith to other people. Now, in some coming videos that I will attach to this video, you will see Skellig Michael, how tremendously beautiful it is. Please continue watching, and I will see you in the next one. We are now inside of one of the monk cells, the beehives.
It's dark in here, but your eyes adjust.
This is where the monks would pray. Actually a nice size.
I wonder how many would live in here. There's like a little shelf or something over here. Now the first time the Skellig was mentioned was in a monastery in Dublin, in Ireland. Sometimes the whole island is like one big waterfall. Now we haven't had, this is not a normal day. Well, it's normally windy, but rain comes with it. So we have a cistern underneath here. It's very green, I wouldn't touch it now. It hasn't been used for a long time. So there's one cistern there that they created, they built that, and the water comes from the bedrock and they cut grooves underneath the beehive cells. There's one there and there's one behind the high cross. Now between the two, they hold about 100 gallons and the monks would have used them continuously. So it would have kept fresh. And they would have had to be mostly self-sufficient because access to the island, even in the summer months, with these bigger boats is often impossible. So they would have survived the birds' eggs. They fished in the different locations and they actually had their own vegetable garden. Outside of the wall, that flat area is where the monks grew their vegetables. Now the soil is very, very good, pure compost from the birds. It couldn't get much better. About 30 years ago, some of the guides at the time experimented in that area. They grew vegetables and they did very, very well. Only we have a problem now that the monks didn't have. I'm not sure if you noticed, we have rabbits on the island. And they had a great party and finished everything. So they were brought over by lighthouse people for food. They're still here. I've seen puffins and rabbits share the same burrow. Excuse me. So the monks were here from around the 6th century till the 12th. It was a time of deep unrest on the mainland. It's not really a pathway, but you can sit there if you like. Sit down if you want. Yeah. Chill out. the monks were here from around the 6th century till about the 12th. It was a time of deep unrest on the mainland. There were a lot of similar settlements being built like this, and some would have been very, very wealthy, would have held like golden relics and chalices, altar shrines, big herds of cattle, and they would have been attacked by Vikings. Now, we know the Skellings was attacked a number of times. Apparently, they didn't find anything of value, such as gold, but it is known that they did take away some of our monks and kill them. And it's recorded in 823, they took away a very important abbot. His name was Etgal, took him out to sea, and they starved him. So they would have created a lot of pain. However, we do know that the monastery did survive the attacks, because there's records of different monks living there all the way to the 12th century. Now, people wonder, often ask the question, which order of monks did this particular group belong to? But in Ireland at that time, there were no big religious orders. St. Patrick had come just a couple of hundreds of years before that. They were early Christian monks that would have lived a very strict, disciplined life of prayer, coming together apparently every 3 hours to recite psalms together. They would have spoken a kind of mix between Latin and Gaelic, Irish. But the big changes started happening in the 12th century, because these bigger orders, like the Augustinians, Benedictines, Cistercians, Franciscans, came over from Europe, and then they started building bigger monasteries on the mainland, collecting these hermit monks that were living in mountaintops and valleys and islands around the coast of Ireland, Scotland and Wales, so they would have more control over them. And we know the similar thing happened here on the Skelligs. Augustinian friars came out here and they spent quite a bit of time here towards the end of the time when the monks were here. They actually built this chapel here. You know how it stands out? It's much earlier, you know, that this was built in the 12th century, whereas the others are much earlier, which I'll explain to you in a while. Around then, it was decided that the monks would be one was because of the pressure of these bigger orders. Another was that the weather deteriorated over the years and the temperature dropped by about 3 degrees, which would have made quite a big difference to actually the living area. So they moved from here and they went across to Ballinskelligs. Ballinskelligs is just over the mountain from Portmagee. On a day like today, I would recommend it if it doesn't rain. It's a beautiful drive. Has anybody done the Skellig Ring? It's a beautiful, beautiful little... It's only a short drive, and it's actually the nicest part of the Ring of Kerry, but it's kind of off the Ring of Kerry, but it's really close to Portmagee, you know. So just remember that, and you can get back on the main road from there. It's definitely worth an extra 20 minutes. So it's called the Skellig Ring. Yeah, and down Skellig then, at the end of the beach, there's the remains of an Augustinian friary. So they moved then, and it was left abandoned for a long time, but people always knew about the Skelligs, and always will, for different reasons. So they would have come out here to do pilgrimages for a couple of days or a couple of weeks at a time. The monks would definitely revisit it. Priests would have come out here and said mass on Sunday. People would have come out here for picnics. What's the nice little bit of history that happened on Skelligs in that time was that the Skelligs retained the old Lenten calendar, whereby people come out here during Lent and get married, where they couldn't do that on the mainland. So if they needed to get married in a hurry in Ireland at that time, they'd come to the Skelligs. And that was called the Skellig List. Do you understand that? It's an interesting little bit of history. Apparently there was a lot of people on that list. I suppose it would be a nice place to get married anyway. And then much, much later, in the 1800s, there was an increase in shipping and shipwrecks. And Irish lights, who owned the lighthouses around Ireland, took over the rock and they built two lighthouses on the western side. Now, as they were being built, the workmen would have come up here, actually use these beehive cells for actually storing dynamite. It's a different appreciation for places like this. People say dynamite, why? They use dynamite for building the pier and for the pathway as well, you know. So a lot of change has happened over the years, you know. The lighthouse people definitely changed a few things behind here. Like the outer wall there was built to be the lighthouse. You can literally see the different colours as well walking around. You know, you can go up to behind the beehive cells, so lovely view. Slightly more cozy, and maybe a wooden door to block out the wind as well. And then up on the higher terrace, there's a little.
Oh, yeah, here, give me the thing, I'll do you.
They're quite something. Nobody goes out there anymore. And apparently this is where the monks would have stood with their arms open and prayed. And I guess at that time it was like the edge of the known world. There was no Americas that they knew about, so it was a good place to pray, you know. So that's really basically, guys, all I can tell you. The rest of it is to your own imagination. Who knows what happened, really. So thanks for listening. Be safe. And enjoy the puffins. In about 2 weeks' time, all the puffins will be gone. So we're coming to the end of the nesting season. We have 8,000 puffins on the island, and they're doing very well. So it's fantastic. And this time of the year now, we have the fledgling.
So it's 11:08. That's here. You want your heads in, right?
I hope so.
These are called the Lighthouse Children of Skellig Michael. They died in 1869, age 2 and age 4. 1868 and 1869. This next part is really scary, and I want you to see it. That is very far down.
This is pretty scary right here. You can't switch back and forth.
Oh gosh. There are the puffins. That is the helicopter pad that we have to make it to. We have to go through all those stairs, all the way here. Careful, you will fall.
Kind of clumsy.